From the Afro Blush blog, this is Meet the Makers, a conversation with Africa's creatives, the innovators, designers, and thought leaders within the African diaspora, and the ideas behind the initiatives they've built. On today's show, I have one woman with one mission to create a space for Africa's much loved and moving short stories.
Leaders are the powerhouse behind storytelling. The people who consume these stories, people who buy these stories, is the reason we have bookshops, you know? So I said, yes, Africa writes, but baby girl, Africa reads, right? And so I was thinking, Africa reads, Africa reads, Africa reader, a reader.
So joining me today is Nancy Adamora. Hi, Nancy.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
So you are the creator behind Afrida, Africa's online literary magazine, featuring original short stories from emerging writers across the continent. 5 years ago, if someone asked me to recommend an African short story, I wouldn't have known where to go. At best, I would have Googled African short stories and pretty much have been left to the internet gods to conjure up some kind of option for me to explore. But now that's all changed with Afrida. You are a platform for Africa's short stories. So I suppose in a nutshell, could you tell us what Afrida is and what you came here to do?
I think there was definitely platforms like Afrida, similar to Afrida, that were on the internet that did feature kind of short stories, but also poetry, essays, you know, thought pieces. But I think with that and the African literary space in general, it tends to be community based. So a lot of the people who are producing the content is also the people who are reading the content. So you have a lot of writers who are engaged in these platforms that tend to be very niche and, you know if you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So what Afrida's trying to do is trying to bring it, not necessarily pop culture, but just make it more that you don't have to be a reader. You don't have to be somebody who's willing to walk into a bookstore and pay money for a book in order to engage with African stories. So we're trying to make it something that you can access easily and something that's just open to everyone, not people who just categorize themselves as readers.
Okay, so kind of making African stories accessible to everybody, not just bookworms and
100%
people like that.
I wish I said it like you said it. That's like 5 years.
Not
to say
everyone
what you
can
just
be
said.
Me, Nancy.
Yeah, you're right. I'm trying.
So I remember when I read The Concubine, which was my first time to Nigeria.
Yeah.
So that was the first time that I'd ever gone to anywhere in Africa, at least in my mind, you know,
brilliant.
Except from Uganda.
That touched me.
Yeah.
My first time in Nigeria.
So, and if you don't know The Concubine, it's by Elechi Amadi. It took me somewhere that felt so far, but also felt so close, and it was the first time I really kind of ever learned about, I suppose, the impracticalities of love.
Mm-hmm.
What book would you say has played an important role in making you the woman that you are today?
See, this question's so easy for me, but I always like to come up with something that nobody's heard before, right?
Okay.
But I'm going to have to be just so cliche and say Chimamanda. Who is Bae? Who is Bae? And who is Bae? But so when I was 14, I received Half of the Yellow Sun for Christmas. And I always tell people the story that I was just so unexcited when I went under the tree kind of 3 days before Christmas, picked up a heavy package and realized it was a book, right? And so it was only on Christmas Day when I ripped off the wrapping paper and I saw an Igbo name that I realized that this is going to be like no other book I've ever read in my life. So prior to reading that book, basically the book is set against the backdrop of the Biafran War.
Mm-hmm.
Before that book, I didn't actually know that there was a war in Nigeria. And just to add context to that statement, I am the most Nigerian that you'll ever find in London. Like in secondary school, once it was the 1st of October, I would be waving my flag around. So in my head, I knew everything.
Mm.
But this book for me, it was one of those books that teach you about yourself, what it means to call yourself a Nigerian, what it means to call yourself Igbo. Like it was just such a transformative stage for me. And that was actually my introduction to African literature.
Right.
So before then, you know, in school, when we're doing literature, we're learning, you know, about Jane Eyre. Okay. When we're reading kind of Harry Potter. Then my friends and I, we kind of moved towards urban African-American literature because we wanted to see ourselves in the characters. But to find kind of that literature existed that was African in nature, that kind of spoke to me as I'm living in London. Yeah. It was my way of going home.
Yeah.
My way of being back in Nigeria, being yeah. back in Onitsha. Like, it was beautiful for me. So I would say that's when I fell in love with African literature.
Amazing. And what were you doing the night they came up with Afrida? Ooh. Do you remember that night?
Do I remember the night? So it came to me in different waves. So I remember there was a time that I was doing a lot of commuting into work, and I was reading a lot of short stories, and I love the quick and fast paced nature of them, right? So that was one thing. And also, I was coming across a lot of exceptional short stories on people's personal blogs. And I was actually thinking, okay, so this story is dope on any level. And I know for a fact, only their mother and their auntie is reading it. Mm. So for me, it was, I'm a reader and I want access to this content. And writers must want access to more readers who can, you know, engage with their work, critique their work, you know, help them grow in, yeah. you know, in their passion. So it was those two things that had clicked together. And yeah, it was organic from there. So I'm very entrepreneurial, right? So as far back as I can remember, I've always been thinking, okay, Nancy, what's your idea? Nancy, you need to blow, you need to blow, you need to blow. But there was a way of Frida hit me almost in a way where it wasn't, I didn't give myself the idea. The idea was given to me. Mm. I've been given an assignment. It's like, Nancy, look at this. Nancy, look at that. Okay, what are you going to do about it? Yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah. So very organic, but I can remember the time. You know, and I remember when I came up with a name, and I remember when nothing existed, but I was on websites printing out Afrida posters just to stick on my wall, just so it can exist outside of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I suppose once you say it and you admit it to yourself,
100%. And once you give it a name, I always say, like, when my friends say, Nancy, I'm coming up with a venture, I'm like, what's the name? Because once you find a name for it, I always say it exists outside of you. Mm. It's different to say, oh, I know I want to create an African literary magazine, and that's in your head. But the second you say, I want to create Afrida's a thing. Mm. It's you know, you can't touch it, but it's there.
And it exists.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what about the name Afrida? So you felt, you're saying that you felt convicted
yeah.
when you came up with the idea, mm-hmm. and even more so when you came up with the name.
Yeah.
Where did the name come from?
Yeah, I was on the Africa Writes website, which is a annual literary festival that happens here in London. And I remember looking at the name like, oh, Africa Writes, if only I came up with this name.
I think like that all
yes,
the time.
Yes. I was like, oh, just, you should have given me one more year. But it was fine because I was thinking, okay, Africa Writes. But from my perspective, I thought there was a lot going on with writers, and we weren't talking about readers. Mm. Readers are the powerhouse behind storytelling. The people who consume these stories, people who buy these stories, is the reason we have bookshops, you know? So I said, yes, Africa Writes, but baby girl, Africa reads, right? Man. And so I was thinking, Africa reads, Africa reads, Africa reader, Afrida, yeah, you know? Yeah. So, and you know, when you get the name and when it speaks to your soul, you know it's right.
Yeah.
It fits, everything makes sense. And like I said, it wasn't a, oh, I'm coming up with a name. It was more of, I'm discovering the name.
Okay.
You know, was that deep?
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that it's a concept that you don't feel that you've gone out to bless.
Yeah.
In fact, it's something that came and blessed you.
Yeah, 100%.
And something that's been working
100%
in with you. Why is it so important that somewhere like Afrida exists?
It's important to be able to know that your work is being appreciated. You know, I think kind of writing is a very lonely thing to do. You kind of write by yourself. And there's a level of validation sometimes that a lot of writers who've responded to us get from being published on Afrida. You know, there's a difference between kind of publishing on your personal blog and publishing your work on a platform that you know has significantly a bigger audience that are more engaged and likely to kind of, you know, follow you on Twitter. So for me, Afrida, I don't mind Afrida being the place that people kind of test the waters, you know, in terms of our submissions. We accept stories that have been already published on personal blogs. You know, there's a lot of platforms that are like, it needs to be exclusive content, it needs to be XYZ. For me, it's, I just want to build a community of individuals who love stories, everyday stories about the continent. And I think within traditional publishing, particularly around African literature and probably kind of Black literature in general, when they're looking to publish certain stories, it has to kind of, a government has to be falling. There has to be some kind of coup, or, you know, it has to be about gang culture. To have a platform that is saying, baby girl, if you want to talk about love, you can talk about love. You know, if you want to talk about, you know, how you felt when you were made to wash the plates, when you wanted to go out with your friends, talk about that. Talk about everyday things, you know.
Absolutely. And I sometimes think that the everyday Black and Black African experience has to always be overhyped to be something about overcoming racial oppression or equality or getting out of the hood or making it. And in fact, I've actually seen and witnessed that the majority of artists and writers that make it out into, in terms of the literary sphere, to kind of go at least a little bit mainstream, are often given the support when they are coming with those, in inverted commas, Black stories.
Definitely.
But what about the Black experience, which is everyday and very normal? Mm-hmm. You know, in one of our previous conversations, I remember you mentioned that when we're talking about books and literature, you said, actually, our stories are not to be studied.
Yeah.
And they're not about, you know, critiquing and getting over and examining.
Yeah.
They can be enjoyed too. Mm-hmm. And even those simple, everyday, fun, humorous moments are to be enjoyed and can be felt and understood by people who are not African too, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's certainly really, really key. What kind of stories do you receive? And is there a particular type and style that you're used to you're receiving?
Oh, that's interesting. I haven't really thought about that. I don't tend to get a lot of, so we do get love stories, but we don't get a lot of love stories, which is interesting. But definitely the stories we receive are more everyday, but it tends to be kind of, also a lot of it is kind of literary fiction, and I'm going to ruin the definition, but from my head, literary fiction is kind of fiction that kind of addresses something wider in society, right? So I feel like a lot of the short stories we receive, although they're kind of everyday, sometimes you do get the impression that the writer wants you to walk away with something.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I'm just writing for fun. I just want you to engage with this story, which is interesting. But I would say it's pretty varied in terms of what we get. Yeah.
And do you publish every submission that you get through Afrida?
No, unfortunately we don't. I feel like you have to keep up a certain standard.
I think
when I started, I wanted to encourage everyone, right? So I wanted anyone who had the confidence to kind of submit their work, I wanted to give them excellent feedback and be like, you know what? You could go on the website, right? But then you find that a lot of talented writers, before they consider submitting to your platform, they want to see what's already there, you know? And also the readers, you want to be consistent with the quality of content that comes in. So somebody can be exceptionally talented, but the story isn't a right fit for Afrida. So we have to take a lot of things into account, not just the quality of writing or in terms of a technical ability to write, but also the nature of the story and what you're talking about and what the story is about and whether it kind of fits with what we're going for with Afrida. And that's taken time. Like initially when I started, I was like, oh yeah, send me anything. Send me
everyone's a winner.
Yeah, everyone's a winner. Send me everything. But I think as, you know, time has gone on, you kind of tend to narrow your focus and understand what exactly you want to share and to put out to your audience.
And I think that's good. It sets a benchmark.
Yeah,
and you're right, it sets a standard.
Mm-hmm.
And then people can be proud, because it's always nice knowing that not everybody
can
get here.
But, 100%. You know,
So what is the exact process? So I'm a writer. Mm-hmm. I've written a short story. What constitutes to a short story, by the way?
See, good question. Do you know what I mean? Like, for me, it's just from the, my background isn't in publishing and my background isn't in English literature, right? So when I think of stories, I think of words on a page that cease to become words on a page, words that turn into colors and turns into sound and turn into pictures, that kind of thing. So a short story for me is a story that takes me somewhere. I prefer, or I tend to like stories that have kind of clear plots, clear characters, but we have published some pieces that don't necessarily fit into the traditional short story structure, but it definitely works for Afrida.
Okay.
So in terms of the process, again, the idea wasn't to make it technical, right? Mm. In order to submit, it has to be size 12, New Times Roman, double space. We're not about that, okay? We want to make it as simple as possible, just to make sure that we don't scare anybody off.
Yeah.
We don't make it too daunting, okay? Yeah. So it's simple, that we got a submissions page, just a very small kind of guidelines that you need to abide by, and you just send us your story in a Word document.
Okay.
Yeah, so pretty straightforward.
Okay. And then you notify people that they've been selected to be on the on the site, yep, and things like that. Okay. So speaking of notifying people, mm-hmm, you were at Africa Writes,
woo-woo,
in the weekend that's just gone.
Yeah.
Whatever date that was, who even knows? Do you remember what date
it was? The 30th of June to the 2nd of July.
There we go. You heard it here first. So how was that, by the way?
It was exceptional.
Yeah.
It was really good. I feel like all the Africa Writes, I've had to miss certain days, but this one I was glad because I
were there for the full
exactly
whack.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So it was really good.
Okay, so at the Africa Writes festival over the weekend, you ran a competition,
yeah,
with Afrika,
yeah,
because I met up with you kind of a few days before,
yeah,
then,
yeah.
And you were talking about having a look through all your submissions. Mm. So how were the submissions?
It was the thing with Afrika is that we're always trying to innovate, we're always trying to play around, right? Mm. So basically, the headline for one of the events was Alain Mabankou. So basically, he was the headline event. And we're thinking, how can we do something creative?
Yeah.
So he has a story called Tomorrow I'll Be 20.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided that what we're going to do, we're going to take the first two sentences of that book, and then we're going to give it to our community and say, run with it. Continue the story.
Love
500
that.
Words, submit it, okay? And for me, it's so beautiful to see the amount of stories that come from the same two sentences.
Just the options. It's like you start in the same place and take a thousand
exactly
different
roads.
But
yeah, the only thing we said is that you have to tell the story from the perspective of a child living somewhere in Africa, because the actual book is based on a boy called Michelle, who's 10 years old. So it was just so interesting. So we announced a winner at the opening night, which was a rap party, which was exceptional.
Yeah.
We got kind of 250 submissions thereabouts.
Goodness.
So it was a lot to read. But you know, when you're tired reading, but you're like, oh,
so
amen,
good,
amen. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And so what we done, we announced the winner, who was from Kenya, but we also published some of the other stories that we were so impressed by.
Okay.
So we had a story from Sudan, a story from Somalia, a story from Ghana, and a story from another country that I will think of. Come on, encourage me, Louisa.
It's not Rwanda.
It's not Rwanda. private joke. It's not Rwanda. I'll think of the story.
Okay.
Halfway. But it's just beautiful to see so many different countries participating, and you're in the country as you read it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it just all came from the same place. I was just really, really happy with that.
Amazing.
And we'll see where it takes us. We'll see where it goes.
Oh, fantastic. So what did the winner win? What was the prize?
Yeah, so the prize was, 140 retweets, which I think we're on now, and they also got £100.
141 by the end of tonight.
Okay. And so that's great for them in terms of people engaging with their work.
Yeah.
And obviously in their bio section, we have, links to social media handles and blogs if they have it. And they also walked away with £100, which
fantastic,
is our way of saying, you go, girl.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. So what are your plans for Afrida moving forward?
Good question. So I always tell people, Afrida is literally what you see when you type Afrida into Google, 0.1% of the vision. The vision is so big.
That's incredible because it is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Isn't as it is, it stands.
Well, you kind of had to say that, girl. But thank you. No. Thank you so much.
You wouldn't be here, honestly, if it wasn't amazing.
I really appreciate that. So I think for me, currently now is a case of being consistent in what we're doing now, making sure that we are excelling in what we're doing now and refining it to make sure it's the best it can be. But for me, I'm really interested in really exploring this idea of traveling through stories, because I've seen that we are so quick and so confident and so proud, which is good to call ourselves Africans. But when it comes to actually engaging with the continent and knowing what it, not what it means to be African, because it's not one thing, but knowing enough about our continent as outside our individual countries. So, for example, I published a story from Madagascar, which was for me amazing, because how many times do I, Nancy Adimora, how many times do I engage with Madagascar, you know? And I remember talking to a friend and saying, oh yeah, we published a story from Madagascar. And he was like, wait, people live in Madagascar, you know? And in my head, the issue with that isn't that the person is just ignorant, because you're very, it was coming from a very intelligent person. Mm. But it just means that the way we interact with our countries, a lot of the time, for example, Madagascar, there is a movie, okay, about animals, just animals talking, called Madagascar, you know, and it is a hilarious movie, you know. In making this point, I kind of feel bad because I love the movie, right?
It's problematic.
It is extremely problematic.
Because it's all that people will see and will know.
And if you even kind of go into it, in the movie, they're in New York for some of the time, and there's people there who are engaging. The second you go to Madagascar, all the people disappear, and it's animals talking. That is problematic, you know? And it's, you have to be able to see these things and unpick it. Yeah. We need to work on that.
And I mean, I think it's very easy to criticize non-Africans and say, oh, they all look at us in the same way. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, they use Africa, it's not a country. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even for a lot of us who are African, have even been to certain countries in Africa, we don't know enough about Africa ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, I think that there is a huge opportunity for storytelling to be a way of us getting to travel into places that we have never been or cannot even imagine. And I remember when I went to Nigeria for the first time, I was so overwhelmed by how developed it was, because I'd only ever been to Uganda, which is significantly underdeveloped in comparison to, you know, Lagos Island.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't believe that, like, what? You have Lamborghinis and you have like a dual carriageway. I'm like, I just can't even believe it. And you have a Hard Rock Cafe, even like the Hard Rock Cafe is whatever. It's not really a big deal. But I think in terms of just infrastructure, but then just because I've been to Uganda, it is not that I made the assumption that I know all of Africa, but it was almost as if I had assumed to an extent that everywhere would be kind of like this, you know? And whereas there is a reason why we might choose to go to Paris, and there is a reason why we'll choose to go to Berlin, and there is a reason why we go to Norway. Mm-hmm. People don't see those as the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, if I say, oh, I'm going to go to Paris, you have a very clear idea of what that is. But if I say I'm going to go to Kenya, somebody might struggle to see how that's different to if I say I'm going to Rwanda.
Yes.
And if I say I'm going to Ethiopia, somebody might find it difficult to differentiate between if I said I was going there to if I said I was going to Eritrea.
Yes.
You know, so.
So, for me, that's important to kind of even to move away from this idea of that we want to kind of go places that kind of meet our everyday, right? So say I want to go to a city and I love the fact that this city in Senegal has a really nice mall, right? But to really engage with what it means to be in Senegal, whether it's the food or whether it's, it sounds so cliche to say whether it's the food or whether it's the people, but honestly, there's a vibe, there's a feeling.
There's a pace of life.
Come on.
There is the way people look at each other.
There's
the way
it speaks to your soul.
Absolutely.
It's engaging with the people without sounding cliche. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So for me, that's important. And stories are essentially all about people. Yeah. Storytelling is centered around people. Everything we do is storytelling. When you look at brands, any brand you look at, there's a story that they're trying to relay to you, because that's how we connect as humans, through stories. Yeah. You know, so I think that's basically the role that Afrida is trying to play, is this human connection and enabling us to connect through stories.
Yeah. How long has Afrida been running?
So Afrida launched it on the 6th of December 2015. Yes. Okay. So we're getting old.
And what are some of the mistakes you made earlier on in developing the platform?
One of the mistakes I made, so I had an idea, African literary magazine. Mm-hmm. The African literary magazines that I had seen were short stories, poetry, essays, opinion pieces. There was so much going on, right? And so when I launched Afrida, and when we kind of had the Holden page up and we said, guys, submit your work, we said that we wanted short stories, essays, opinion pieces.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. And it's one of those things of, for me, starting a venture, and when you see what's out there, and you know, you have to be so confident in how you want to innovate around that. So for me, it took me putting it on the holding page, mm-hmm. and receiving, was it poetry? And thinking, this is great, but this isn't what I want to engage with. It was only when I started receiving poetry that I read it and first off looked at it and thought, I can't even tell whether this is good or not. You know, poetry isn't something that I read often or comes naturally to me, and it wasn't what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. The reason I started Afrida is that I saw that these platforms existed, but I wanted something else.
Okay.
It does not make sense in my head to see a platform that does what you want to do and then start it again.
Absolutely.
If anything, just send them an email. How can I help you? That's my theory.
It's so true, right? And I wish that we could have a whole podcast on that.
100%. So for me, it was understanding that Afrida at least has to start with short stories. Yeah. There's somewhere I'm going with this, okay. You know, and I want to, like we said, appeal to people who aren't necessarily literary critics, but just want to engage with stories.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So, Nancy, mm-hmm. where can we find Afrida? Mm-hmm. Where can we follow you? Where can we like you? Nice. Where can we stalk you?
Okay, so Afrida is just so simple. It's just at Afrida everywhere, AFREADA. And I'm on Twitter also, so that's Nancy Adimora, it's just Nancy without the Y. And yeah, that's it.
Okay, what are your words to live by?
My words to live by, write the vision, make it plain.
Write the vision, make it plain.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And Nancy, what's currently on your Spotify playlist, like right
now? Oh, I'm the worst person to ask this. I'm not a music girl.
Oh, you're not?
What is Spotify?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to say I'm replaying Solange's album.
Okay.
Currently.
Right.
So, yeah, that was a big one for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why? Why that album?
I feel like I engaged with it. I felt this one.
Okay.
It's so interesting. I felt all of it. Yeah. And I felt it because for me, it was like a story. You see how I'm weaving it together? Mm-hmm, you see? Mm-hmm. It felt like a story. It felt like a narrative. It felt like something I could follow her through.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm listening to that currently. Okay. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for coming, Nancy.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for listening. Of course, you can read all about Nancy and Afrida in the comments below. Let us know what you think. And if and when you do get onto the Afrida site, let us know what your thoughts are. And of course, if you are a writer, you are a literary creative, you have to check it out. Honestly, you'd be doing yourself a disservice, and spread it with your friends and family that you know are into that as well. If you've had anything that you've been sitting on for a while and you haven't been sure what to do with it, who to share it with, maybe you're looking for a bit of a boost to actually get the confidence to go and submit it and be part of something, now is the time, and it's a great opportunity, and I'm sure Nancy would love to hear from you. So thanks for listening to the AfroBlush blog and podcast. I'm Louisa Kiwana. You can find me on AfroBlush @AfroBlush here, there and everywhere. All right, thanks. Over and out.